Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. DJ Clue. Desert Storm. The Rock. This shit right here. The Rock Army. Dame Dash presents. The Dream Team, niggas. Word.
Time after time.
What's up, y'all? Yo, this is Dame Dash, the CEO. Here to welcome y'all to the Dream Team. What y'all niggas thought I was gonna rap? Never. I'm just a little mad at niggas coming at my neck like my teammate the best in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like we ain't got beef.
Niggas thought about they self for a change. Then maybe they could finally figure out how to get themselves some change. I done seen jealousy make niggas do two terrible things. How the song go, I do a hope, oh yeah, should've never changed. Not to worry though, we are the champions. Spend a lot of time in Hampton, do a lot of bitch, you can't be young. Damn, all these fans can't be wrong. Damn, B.I.G., you can't be gone. Make those be thugs wanna rock. Make a nigga feel just like pop. Make it street, but it just might pop. Make it straight to the mountaintop. Had to shout on lock when they finally heard a sound with rock. Came in the game, changing the game, change shape of game, yeah. If you feeling this, then your fucking hands in the air.
It's the Rockefeller label, baby, not the mother labels, baby. And we've been ducking shots from all them haters lately. We getting paper, baby. The mother's trying to keep up. We on top, so I guess we didn't save us. Nope, we labeled as the Rockefeller. Shake up, watch us, colors everywhere. Hell yeah, touch us in the game, just blow. Fuck, they hate the folks. Don't make me pop a fella, rock a fella, stop a fella, good shit, hop a fella, see?
What? Don't make me chop a fella, have to call a cop a fella, or the helicopter fellas.
Nigga, I'm a Rockefeller. What nigga for Rockefeller? Shit, I will rock a fella.
Damn!
Goddamn, Beans, I got this. Let me talk my shit one
time. No, we the illest niggas, realest. I will kill these niggas.
Now that's what the fuck I'm talking about. And you wonder why I'm proud of my family? And you wonder why I ain't got a rap? I got niggas that will assassinate you, B. Lyrically, really shut you the fuck down. Don't get your career ended. Leave us the fuck alone. Let us rock. We are rock music with the R.
I'm here, Dame.
Oh, C.
I'm here.
Power.
Killer. This is just Dame. How I was fit on the crate, listening to tapes every day. A frisk was at stake. Jake's cuffs, risk getting raped. My mission was straight to visit them states near them great Michigan lakes. And fuck a bathroom, my piss on the gate. Flip the bird out of flip a bird, switch up my plate. I got plans that was better than jail. Now look, we like Bird, Parrish, Kevin McHale. Got Worthy, Jafar, and Magic. Oh my God, it's magic. Isaiah, Dumars, I will carve your cat. Phil, Scotty, and Mike, Phil, Shaq, and Kobe. My gas will detach your homie. And I'm friends with thugs, I sell endless drugs. For the Rock fam, dog, I extend my love. Jay Bleak, beef, I be crossing the bridge. Tossing they wigs, make corpse of they kids. Free old Sparks at Mac Mitten. I'm 95 South, no doubt, Mac Clippin'. I stack chips in, I'm sack spiffin'. Louis Vuitton loafers, hat drippin'. I go retrieve a duck, tell her proceed and suck. I don't just beat my cases, I beat them up. My lawyer eat them up, put bars behind me. I'm glad they didn't stop that car behind me, shit. And had three felons, gun shooters, no. 50 cal, ACP, bazooka Joe. Don't be stupid, though. I get still a man. I'm for real, man. Yeah, still a care. Different bitch.
We are the champions. We are the champions.
my God, it's the newest power forward of the squad. A legacy like Jordan with the mob, they be known for breaking motherfuckers hard. Put Rockefeller on my pinky ring, fuck a battle, nigga, I'ma get some things. Rolling with them lords and the folks about the shots, they gon' make a quicker gang. I represent the mob to the fullest, you don't want it with the bullets on the bullet. But Kanye on the track of the dream team, I'm gonna be the shit no matter which way you put it. They let the nigga in, I'm gonna go in the zone, taking it to some motherfuckers' zones. Cut the stone, rob a rock until I'm gone. Fill up my body with lead, cut your chrome. Take it to your gut, take it to your chest. I'll be one provoking when I'm smoking sex. Then we getting stronger, hope you got a vest. Somebody got some hat, somebody got some tech. Thumbs up, you got bees, got pearl. Legendary, we on top of the world. How could you win the think you can be done? Hold it down because we got champions.
Yo, what up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the first episode of 2017 of Two Sides of the Story Presents the Skybox. This is your boy, Chills. You hear that? Yeah, it's just me. From now on, the Skybox will only have one host, and that one host will be me. No more co-hosts until further notice. Well, no more co-hosts. But anyway, let's go ahead and kick this show off, though, y'all. I'm going to start this off with professional wrestling. Yes, we do have a new show, Running the Ropes, but it's two things I wanted to talk about from this past week, the WWE. One of those things was this past Monday night, the Beast, Brock Lesnar, made his return. I mean, it wasn't long, but it was great. It's something that the WWE needed. He came in, gave everybody Suplex City, and ended it with a F5 on Roman Reigns. I mean, I got excited. I mean, even though I was sick Monday, but I managed to catch that part. I mean, it was just great. It was phenomenal. It was something that the WWE needed. You got to have Brock Lesnar on television. Everyone be like, well, he doesn't have mic skills. Who gives a fuck? Brock Lesnar is a fucking beast. He's a monster. He's a badass. He is very marketable. You need that to sell your program. It's just simple as that. I mean, Brock coming into the ring, given about 6-7 suplexes in one F5 was better than the entire show. I'm just saying, though. Watching Brock do what he did Monday night was the highlight of Monday Night Raw for me. Well, it was one of the three highlights for Monday night. The other highlight was watching KO powerbomb Roman Booty Hair Reigns through a fucking table to end Raw. Loved it. It was like poetry in fucking motion. I enjoyed it. It made me happy. It put a smile on my face. In the last moment, on Monday night, the WWE, they officially announced the first entrant into their 2017 class, Hall of Fame class. This man is actually one of my favorite wrestlers. He was one of my favorite wrestlers growing up. He was one of the key members of the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era. I mean, he's a true athlete. He's an amazing entertainer. He was great on the mic. He was a great heel. He made you love him. He made you hate him. And one thing about him, he could really fucking wrestle. He taught me how to be a true patriot for this country. He taught me my three I's, intelligence, intensity, and integrity. Oh, it's damn true. The first inductee into the 2017 WWE Hall of Fame class is none other than Kurt motherfucking Angle. I gotta say, it's about damn time. Kurt should have been in. It's so many names that went in before Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle should have been in. Congratulations to Kurt, and I cannot wait to find out who is the rest of this Hall of Fame class. Good times. But we're actually going to move on. I'm going to move on to the NBA now. What was it, last night or a couple of nights ago, we had a rematch of the NBA Finals from 2016 with the Golden State Warriors versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm actually bringing this out early because it kind of got to me because something happened in that game that I thought was just a complete waste. But anywho, so Cleveland Cavaliers are about to go back on offense. They're on the verge of breaking, and Draymond Green draws a foul on LeBron, and LeBron James decides to flop. Okay. There's actually been I've seen a lot on Facebook, a lot of comments on who was right, who was wrong, blah, 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 so, whatever. Here's my take on this. Okay. Was there a foul on LeBron? Yes, there was. Did Draymond intentionally try to foul LeBron? Honestly, I can't say it was too much intentional because looking at it from all angles, Draymond went for the ball. People will like it or not, but facts are facts. That was not an intentional foul, or it wasn't an intentional flagrant foul. That's another thing about that. No flagrant should have been called. No technical should have been called. That was a regular foul. It is what it is. But the part that got to me on that, not only the call on the play, but the fact that all 6'8", 250 pounds of LeBron flops. Come on, man. Seriously? Really? This is what we're going to do? Understand that Draymond is 6'9", 250-ish, whatever. But you have the quote-unquote greatest basketball player in the world who is 6'8", 250-plus pounds, who runs a 4.4 40. Gets into a collision and flops like a little bitch. My question to you, world, to everyone who is listening tonight, how much more of this flopping will we be able to tolerate? Yes, he was fouled, but come on now. You're 6'8", pure fucking muscle, 250 pounds of pure fucking muscle, and you're flopping to fucking point guard. No, Draymond is a power forward, but I've seen LeBron flop to point guard. Guys who are under 6 feet tall, guys who are barely 6 feet, flopping it up, just trying to get a call. What kind of bitch-ass basketball are we being forced to, well, I can't say forced, we're not being forced to watch it, but what kind of basketball are they putting on TV? Is this the product that they want us to watch? I'm sorry. There's one thing I cannot stand about LeBron. No matter how great he is, how many great moments that he has, it's always the little bitch shit that he does. Jordan did not flop. Magic did not flop. Barkley, Ewing, Reggie, none of those names flopped. So why is flopping a big part of his game? It's like I want to give LeBron so much credit for finally bringing a title to the city of Cleveland, a long overdue, a well-deserved title to a sports town. But he makes it so hard for me to do that. I mean, I give LeBron his due. The Bama can play his ass off. He has talent. He is very athletic. He has a very strong basketball IQ. This is not a dumb nigga. This is a very intelligent African-American male. But why must he show these signs of softness? Why is he promoting softness in professional sports? I mean, it's just not him, but considering that he is the face of this association, why is he promoting? Maybe that's what they want him to promote, a softer image league, but people don't want to, people are not paying, people are not watching to see a soft ass sport. Granted, basketball is not really a physical sport, but there is times where it gets physical. And me being a sports fan that I am, I need to see that physicality. I'm just saying, I can't see. I mean, if I wanted to see some soft shit, I would look at a sport that's very soft, like fucking chess, the World Series of Poker. If I didn't want any type of physical content, those are the type of sports I would watch. Hell, I will sit down during the fucking spelling bee. Oh, yes, yes. That's damn true. Because they do show it on ESPN. So technically, it's a sport. Anyway, let's go ahead and kick off with some with the scores from today. Earlier today, the New Orleans Pelicans. I was about to say Hornets. I forgot they changed the name and all that other shit. The New Orleans Pelicans defeated Orlando Magic 118-98. The Detroit Pistons are currently leading the Atlanta Hawks 110-88 with 3:39 left in the fourth quarter. The Houston Rockets are about to finish off the Milwaukee Bucks 111-92 with 16 seconds left in that game. The Charlotte Hornets defeated the Portland Trailblazers 107-85. The Philadelphia 76ers defeated the Toronto Raptors 94-89. The Washington Wizards, the Wizkids, defeated the Memphis Grizzlies 104-101. The New York Knickerbockers defeated the Boston Celtics 117-106. Your 10:30 games are the Indiana Pacers at the Sacramento Kings, the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Golden State Warriors. And I believe those are your 10:30 games. College hoops. Let's go. I'm going to give y'all a quick score update. Then I'm going to go over the rankings. This should be really fun. Real talk. South Carolina upsetted. I said that wrong. Number 24, South Carolina defeated number 19, Florida, 57-53. Florida State University defeated number 10, Florida State University defeated number 15, Notre Dame, 83-80. Number 7, West Virginia was upset by Oklahoma, 89-87. Number 16, Virginia defeated Boston College 71-54. And now let's go ahead to those rankings. Let's talk about the top 25 teams in the country. Looking at the AP top 25, I'm going to start from 25 and work my way up, y'all. Number 25 is San Diego State. Number 24 is Auburn. Number 23 is Utah. Number 22 is Tennessee. Number 21 is Louisville. Number 20 is Miami. Number 19 is South Florida. Number 18 is West Virginia. Number 17 is Colorado. Number 16 is Virginia Tech. Number 15, Western Michigan. Number 14, Florida. Number 13, LSU. Number 12, Stanford. Number 11, Oklahoma State. Number 10, Michigan State. Number 9, Wisconsin. Number 8, Florida State. Number 7, Penn State. Number 6, Ohio State. Number 5, Oklahoma. Number 4, Washington. Number 3, USC. Number 2, Alabama. And oh, stop fast. And okay. Anywho, we're going to actually move on. I just read y'all the... Okay, I read y'all the wrong thing. Okay, my bad. I fucked up. I actually read y'all football. Goddamn. Okay. Number 25 is Maryland. Number 24 is South Carolina. Number 23 is St. Mary's. Number 22 is Xavier. Number 21 is Purdue. Number 20 is Cincinnati. Number 19 is Florida. Number 18 is Duke. Number 17 is Wisconsin. Number 16 is Virginia. Number 15 is Notre Dame. Number 14 is Arizona. Number 13 is Butler. Number 12 is Louisville. Number 11 is Oregon. Number 10 is Florida State. Number 9 is North Carolina. Number 7, you got West Virginia and Creighton. Number 6 is Baylor. Number 5 is Kentucky. Number 4 is Gonzaga. Number 3 is UCLA. Number 2 is Kansas. And the number 1 team is Villanova. We are pretty much less than 2 months away from March Madness. Stay tuned to the Skybox. We will be doing something special for March Madness. Last year, for those who remember, we did our own bracket contest. Went over the best bracket, got a gift card for I think like $100 or something like that. Stay tuned for that because right now we're trying to work out the kinks for this year's. But I want to thank those who actually participated. Thank you. And now we are going straight to the NFL. Yes, we are in the NFL playoffs. God, thank you, Jesus. We are down to the final four teams. This coming weekend, it will be the championship games between the championship games of each conference, the AFC and NFC. On the AFC side, you have the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the New England Patriots. On the NFC side, you have the Green Bay Packers versus the Atlanta Falcons. I'm looking forward to both games. But let's actually talk about this, though. Let's talk about the divisional round. I'm going to start off with the Atlanta Falcons, who upset. They defeated the Seattle Seahawks this past Saturday. I'm not going to call it an upset because, honestly, I thought Atlanta was a better team. I thought they were better than Seattle. I'm sorry, but ever since that Super Bowl where they was at the one and they didn't run a ball, the Seattle Seahawks haven't been the same team to me. I mean, the legend of Boone is really not existent. Their run game is non-existent. And the overall play and offense of the Seahawks isn't consistent. They're not the same team that they were 2-3 years ago. I mean, they were a hot team back in 2013, 2014. Now, they're a good team, but they're not great. I just don't see it with them no more. I mean, we don't know if Earl Thomas is going to come back to football or not due to his injury. But with this game, I knew Atlanta was going to be able to do what they wanted to do against them. I knew that Atlanta was going to run the ball very well against Seattle. I knew that Seattle would have matchup problems going against both their running backs in Dante Freeman and Tevin Coleman. And I knew that they wasn't going to be able to stop Matt Ryan. I mean, as simple as that. I mean, it's just like how, I mean, it's how I saw it. I mean, a lot of people were upset or shocked that Atlanta pulled it off. I just wasn't. I mean, I didn't see the Seahawks as the same team. I mean, anytime when you give up 36 points and you're supposed to have a great defense, you're not the same team that you once were. Matt Ryan looked like a fucking MVP. Right now, he is my favorite to win the award. He is my shoe-in. He is the only guy I can honestly say that will get that award next to Ezekiel Elliott. But I got to give it more so to Matt Ryan because, I mean, his team depends on him way more. Without him, Atlanta ain't shit. Without Zeke Elliott, they got another back that can do whatever. But let's move on to the other game from Saturday with the Houston Texans and the New England Patriots. Where do I go with this game? I'm surprised that it was 14-13 at one point. I'm actually shocked with that shit. I'm not gonna lie. Like, second quarter, it's a 3-point game. It's a 1-point game. I was surprised that that game was even that close. I thought the closest that this game would ever get would be 0-0. I mean, I'm not sleeping on Houston, but you got Tom Brady versus fucking Brock Osweiler. Now tell me, does that sound like a fucking dream quarterback duel to you? Not even? Kind of, sort of, but not really? No? That's enough from y'all? Cool. But what kept Houston in the game as long as they were in the game was the defense. I mean, without that, they really wouldn't have stood a chance against the New England Patriots. I mean, I understand they're playing at Foxborough, the pressure's on. This has been possibly the best team in football for the past 16 years. But the only thing that kept Houston in this game was their defense. If Houston would have had a better quarterback, if Brock Osweiler was actually worth a fuck or was able to do something to get his team to any type of fucking promise in that game, I think that game would have been a better game. New England still would have won, but I think the overall score would have been a lot better. The final score to that game was 34-16. Tom Brady finished off going 18-38 with 287 and 2 touchdowns. Julian Edelman had 8 receptions for 137 yards. And those are both of your Saturday games. Let's move on to Sunday. The Pittsburgh Steelers came to Kansas City to play the Kansas City Chiefs. This game was what I actually expected. Very low scoring, hard-nosed defense, both offenses struggling like shit. But anybody thought that this game was going to be anything other than that, go fuck yourself. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be harsh. I don't mean to be so brash. But come on now. You have two great defenses playing in a playoff game. The chances of this game actually being a shootout was like 1 out of 10. The shit just wasn't going to happen. This was a game that I expected. I expected multiple turnovers. I expected great defensive plays. I expected a shitload of three and out. I expected to see the punter, like a, both teams' punters, like a motherfucker. I expected to see a lot of field goals, which I did. So, looking at this game, I mean, I can't take nothing away from Big Ben. I mean, your man still threw for 224 yards with 20 completions. No TDs, but he technically still had a good game. It was good enough to get them to the point where they was able to get those field goals. You got 170 yards from Le'Veon Bell. You got 170 yards out of Le'Veon Bell, and fucking Antonio Brown was just Antonio Brown. I mean, what else can you say about the guy? I mean, he still gave you 108 with six receptions. But what the part that really caught my eye with this game, though, is how the Pittsburgh Steelers managed to win this game without scoring a touchdown. They didn't score a touchdown on offense. They didn't score a touchdown on defense. They still won the game. I mean, I gotta give credit to that. I mean, that's a lot of. I mean, six field goals in one game? Shit, that's a lot. That is a lot to ask of your kicker. I mean, Kansas City scored two touchdowns, but Pittsburgh didn't score not one. They put their kicker to work. Six field goals. I mean, somebody, there's far people saying, okay, that's what he gets paid to do. But anytime where you're kicking, where you're a kicker, your team is struggling. It's cold as fuck outside. And it's the playoffs. That's a lot of pressure. I mean, it's just not, okay, the game is on a line field goal. You're dealing with all these elements that's creating more pressure on you. And he was able to get the job done. Hats off. Now, let's go to Sunday night. Well, the game from Sunday night. That featured the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. So, the Cowboys came into this game as the number one seed in the NFC. This is not the first time they've done this, but they came in the playoffs as the number one seed in the NFC. First playoff game this year. Green Bay, who defeated the Giants crushed the Giants a week earlier, came into this game as the visiting team. So the Cowboys had an extra week off, home field advantage. They pretty much had all of the elements working into their favor. What happened? They do what they've been doing for the past 20-plus fucking years. Choking in the fucking playoffs. Two playoff wins since 1996. But come on, D.C., Maryland, VA, what's up with y'all's team, though? Real talk, I mean, if I could be honest, what's up with y'all's team? What's up with y'all Dallas Cowboys? Why can't they win in the fucking playoffs? But let's actually talk about the game, though. Aaron Rodgers faced the Dallas Cowboys team. The Packers were in sync from the fucking start of this game. I believe they scored on their first three drives? Touchdowns while the Cowboys were matching them with fucking field goals. Fuck out of here with that weak shit. Aaron Rodgers finished the game off with 355 yards and two touchdowns. Zeke the Freak Elliott would finish with 125. And he would have 132 with two TDs. I'm not going to lie. I thought Green Bay was going to run away with this game after that Michael Hyde interception where he pretty much jumped a fucking screen. You don't see that very often. But that was a great fucking play. I'm not going to lie. Who the fuck is that aware where they jump a screen pass? I've seen screen passes get batted down But that was like one of the rare times where I saw a screen get intercepted. That was a very heads-up play. Fucking Hyde had a great game. I mean, he was all over. He had a sack. He had an interception. He made plays all over. He broke up some passes. I mean, this dude has really earned his spot on his Green Bay Packers team. The game actually did get close, though. The Cowboys managed to come back, scoring 18 points in the fourth quarter. The game actually got tied at 28-28, then at 31 apiece until the final drive. It's, what, third and 20, some shit like that? Aaron Rodgers breaks out of the pocket and throws a pass on the sideline, a 36-yard bomb to fucking Jared Cook. That play was originally ruled incomplete by the first official, but the official behind the other official came up and said it was a complete catch. Of course, the play was reviewed. Both feet, both toes were in bounds when the catch was made before he slid out of bounds, making it a complete catch. That led to Mason Crosby time. Mason fucking Crosby. His first field goal attempt didn't count because the Cowboys decided to call a timeout to freeze the kicker. I can't blame him for that. But that following kick, the game-winning kick, I'm not going to lie, this kick was not a fucking beauty. When it first was coming off, I'm looking like, oh my God, this is about to go wide left. Then it somehow, it goes from going wide left to working its way in between the goalposts to seal the Cowboys' fate once again. Yes, that did happen. The Cowboys' fate got fucking sealed by a ugly-ass kick that still went in. That's how badly they fucking suck. Okay, I might sound biased, but it is what it is. I really don't give a fuck. Anywho, there was a survey going around on Facebook. People asking, was the Cowboys season a disappointment? I mean, I'm kind of 50-50 with it. I mean, yes. It was a great season where we saw Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott perform to extraordinary levels considering the fact that both are rookies. They both carried this team with the supporting cast that they already had to a 13-3 record. Home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs and a fucking first-round bye. The best record the Cowboys have had in fucking years. Possibly two fucking decades. They did that. They broke records. They made history. That part of what the Cowboys did this season was fucking great. But here comes the disappointment. You're 7-1 at home. Hosting a visiting team that barely made the fucking playoffs. Not only barely made the playoffs, but barely won their division at that. Granted, the Packers are more experienced. Granted, the Packers were red fucking hot entering the playoffs. But you had every single advantage working in your favor. And what happened? You trailed by 18 early. You had to play catch up. You couldn't stop Aaron Rodgers until barely the fourth quarter, but even still, he still found a way to win the game for his team. Y'all really couldn't get nothing going. Some of the fans want to blame the defense, but you can't blame the defense for that entire game. The Cowboys weren't ready. They were not set up for success. I blame Jason Garrett for that. I blame coaching. I blame Jerry Jones. Hell, I even blame Tony Romo. Well, I can't blame Romo. I'm going to put my brakes on that one. It's like I can, but I can't. I can't blame Romo because I was going to say that he should have got young Dakota ready for this game. But how can you get a young quarterback who pretty much replaced you ready for the playoffs when you fucking sucked in the playoffs yourself? It is what it is. But, I mean, the Cowboys choked. They weren't ready. And at the end result, they lost. I don't want to hear that they only lost by three. I don't want to hear that, oh, they showed up against a team of veterans and blah, 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 yada, 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 whatever bullshit y'all can do to try to save face. The fact remains is they had all the elements. They had a 13-3 record, the top fucking seed in NFC. Best fucking home record in all of football, and they still fucking choked. Dallas Cowboys, you are my choke artist of the fucking week. Y'all earned it. Y'all deserved it. A round of fucking applause. But anywho, moving on to the conference game, the conference championship game. You had Pittsburgh versus New England, and you have Green Bay versus Atlanta. I'm going to give my predictions on this. I'm going to start with the NFC side. This game is the 3:05 game on Sunday. The Packers visit the Falcons at the Georgia Dome. I'm going to take Green Bay in this game. Nothing against Atlanta. I mean, when I say nothing against Atlanta, I mean there is absolutely nothing against Atlanta. But I don't like their chances in a shootout against Aaron Rodgers. He's shown the world that he can win without Jordy Nelson. He did it against the number one team in the NFC. Atlanta, they're a little bit different, but their defense isn't that great. I mean, there's no real threat. I mean, it's gotten better over the past few weeks, but there's still no threat to actually stop or slow down Aaron Rodgers. This game, I'm expecting high scoring. I'm expecting quick offenses, quick drives, long drives. I'm expecting 30, 40 points. I'm expecting a fucking 45-42 score, some shit like that. I'm expecting both quarterbacks to throw over 300 yards, with one even hitting 400. I'm expecting Dante Freeman and Tevin Coleman to have great games, to combine for over 200 yards rushing. I'm not sleeping on either team's defense in this game, but I don't think either team's defense can slow down the opposing offense on either side. I'm sorry, but this is a game that you would have to watch. I'm surprised that this game isn't the main event for Sunday night. Nothing against the AFC side, but this game I'm looking forward to the most because whoever wins this, they damn sure deserve to go to the Super Bowl because the Atlanta Falcons have been nothing short of amazing this season. The way that Kyle Shanahan has this offense running, the run game is fucking unstoppable. You got two backs who are fucking clones of each other. They both can run up the middle, run to the outside, and line up as receivers, catch on the backfield. I'm sorry. That's fucking amazing. You still got Julio Jones. They still got Mohamed Sanu. The Falcons are very fucking stacked. Versus the Packers, who also is very fucking stacked. Jared Cook has been a great addition to Green Bay. Ty Montgomery has been a great addition to Green Bay's run game. So this game should be fucking explosive. It should be fucking dynamite. And again, I'm going to take the Packers by at least 3 points. Moving over to the AFC side. You have the Steelers versus the Patriots. This is going to be a good game. I'm not going to sleep on Pittsburgh. I'm not going to sleep on New England. But if I had to choose, I'm going to take the overall better team, which is the New England Patriots. That Foxborough, everyone is pretty much healthy. And it's Tom fucking Brady. They're going to find a way to win a game. Nothing against Pittsburgh. Nothing against Big Ben. Nothing against Mike Tomlin. But, I mean, if I'm going to call it, I'm going to call New England. I think New England is overall the better team. I mean, Bill Belichick in the playoffs, I'm sorry, it is what it is. He has lost, but he doesn't lose often. Tom Brady, he has lost, but he doesn't lose often. I think New England will reach the Super Bowl for the eighth time since 2001. Yeah, about the seventh time. This will be their eighth appearance. Seventh, eighth, whatever. Since 2001. But anywho, I think this is going to be a very close game. You might be that high-powered offense game from both teams. Because, I mean, both teams do have good defenses, too. So, you don't know if this is going to be a low-scoring game or a very high-scoring game. This game could go either way as far as that. But overall, I'm picking the Patriots. And we are down to the final 12 minutes. Let's go ahead and talk about the new coaching jobs. Mike's our topic for the night. The head coach shuffle. For those who have been following, right now, the only team that they're still looking for a head coach is the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, not the Atlanta Falcons, shit. Ugh. The San Francisco 49ers, they're looking at their lead candidate is the Atlanta Falcons offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan. Honestly, I think he will be a good fit. I'm mad that the Skins let him go because I think he would have been a great fit as their head coach. I think Kyle would have been great. Him with Sean McVay, I think that would have been very explosive. I mean, it's something that this city and team could have used, a real youth movement. I mean, it would have been electric. But it looks like that Kyle will be on his way to San Fran, replacing Chip Kelly. The Los Angeles Rams, however, found their coach. They brought in former Redskins, Washington Redskins offensive coordinator Sean McVay, making Sean McVay the youngest head coach in NFL history at the age of 30. Let that burn it. You got this. Well, I'll take it back. No, he's 30. You have this coach getting his first head coaching job in the NFL at the age of 30. Then you got the stage that he's going to be on. He's going to be in fucking L.A. I mean, he's going to be, he's getting his first coaching job on a fucking huge market. It doesn't get no better than that. But I like this move for the Rams because, one, they're bringing in someone young who can coach a young team. Yes. They're bringing in someone young who can coach this young team. I mean, you look at the Rams roster, I mean, most of their players are in their mid-20s. A high percentage of their players are in the mid-20s. So this is a very young squad. You have a young quarterback who they drafted in 2016 in Jared Goff who could benefit from Sean McVay's play calling. Another thing that this also opens up for the Rams is the Redskins have two veteran receivers who will both enter free agency this season. Once free agency starts, the Redskins have a choice of Pierre Garçon or DeSean Jackson. They're not keeping both receivers. It's either one or the other. So with that said, I think what other receiver gets released by the Skins due to free agency will end up following Sean McVay to L.A. I mean, it's a good fit. I mean, why not come in with at least one player who knows your offense? And especially one veteran receiver who could help your quarterback out, who could help your young quarterback out. I'm looking at McVay. I know he's going to come in and he's going to possibly bulk up that L.A. Rams offensive line. They have one good piece with Todd Gurley, their running back. But, I mean, with McVay coming in, he will take a lot of pressure off of Todd Gurley and make the Rams offense somewhat respectable, something it hasn't been since fucking Mark Marks. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, there the offense hasn't been shit since Mike Marks. I mean, Jeff Fisher was a fucking joke. I'm sorry. He barely won in fucking Tennessee. You thought he was going to do something special with the Rams? Okay. This motherfucker went off the RG3 trade, but still couldn't fucking win. I mean, seriously? End up doing the same thing a few years later by giving up all these picks to get a quarterback that he's not even certain in. Think about that. Let's keep the balls rolling here. Let's keep the ball rolling. Apparently, Wade Phillips is also on his way to L.A. to be the defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams. Gus Bradley is still looking around for jobs as a defensive coordinator. You got teams like the Washington Redskins who have interviewed him and thinking of making a decision on him sometime within the next week. The Jacksonville Jaguars will not bring in former head coach Chip Kelly as their offensive. Thank God. Jacksonville, y'all smart. Y'all smart for that one. I'm just saying. Chip Kelly, bruh. I mean, you're going to have y'all doing some real Oregon Duck shit. And y'all don't need that. He's already made y'all a fucking joke. He's already made two franchises a fucking joke. I mean, seriously? Who really wants that? You're going to have fucking... You're going to have Blake Bortles running fucking Oregon Duck offenses. Running fucking read options and shit. Taking direct snaps. That is not what any NFL team needs. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest here. I mean, come on now. I mean, who really thought that Chip Kelly shit would work? Why? Who would seriously consider Chip Kelly's offense doing anything? I'm just saying, though. But I'm glad that Jacksonville has found their guy. They have found someone that they feel as though that can do the job and take this offense back to where it was two seasons ago when they had 2,000-yard receivers. Well, one thing that is Jaguars' offense is missing out is a serious run game. They haven't had that in a very long time. They haven't had that since Maurice Jones-Drew, when he was one of the best running backs in the NFL. But this should be interesting. This should be real interesting. Any other head coaching that I need to reveal? The Jaguars offensive coordinator name is Nathaniel Hackett. I actually thought I said that already. Oh, okay. But I mean, I'm looking at the 49ers right now. With the young team that they have, the team that they are trying to rebuild into, the players that they have, I know there's going to be a few moves that need to be made, Like, one, they want to rebuild that defense that was so dominant a few years ago. I understand that. That's going to take time. That's really going to take time. Another thing, they do bring in Kyle Shanahan. One of the first things he's going to do is actually boost that offense, something that it desperately fucking needs. This offense has been some ass ever since John Harbaugh fucking left. Surprisingly, I thought Colin Kaepernick would actually excel under Chip Kelly due to his play style and Chip Kelly's coaching style. But, I mean, crappy coaching is crappy coaching. Lack of talent is lack of talent. Because, I mean, Chip Kelly was some ass as a coach, but the 49ers did lack talent. During this offseason, I'm looking for the 49ers to really bring in some wide receiver help. I'm sorry, Torrey Smith. I love you, my dog. I appreciate the fact that you were born in the state of Maryland. I respect you for that, PG County. But, bruh, you are not a number one. It's that simple. You were solid number two in deep threat, but you are not a number one. 49ers, y'all were stupid. Y'all were stupid as fuck to ever think that. And again, I'm not downing my own, but I'm just calling it like I see it. Torrey Smith is not a number one. It's plain as day. What else do I have before? Oh, shit, we have a minute. We have 90 seconds left, y'all. I was about to read off a minute 34, but Blog Talk already said, nigga, you got 90 seconds. Okay. Since I have 90 seconds, what else do I need to say? The Royal Rumble is in 2 weeks. This week, check out the conference championship game. Packers versus Falcons, Steelers versus Patriots, NBA action. Make sure you catch up on your NCAA men's and women's basketball. And that is it. Before I go, though, I would like to say thank you for those who have listened to tonight's show. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Yes, 2 weeks. I'm not going to be here next week. I mean, I'm having a tooth pulled, and I'm not going to be able to actually talk to y'all. Y'all not going to be able to hear my nice voice over the radio next week. Also, what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. But I'll be back in 2 weeks. Also, let's see. Moving on. Tomorrow, please make sure you check out the first episode of 2017 of Two Sides of the Story Presents Mic Check. You got your boy, the Bishop. We got a new host. Check it out. Friday night, you got His and Hers. And I catch y'all in 2 weeks. Holla.